Hey everyone, this is Catherine Wu from Asari. Welcome to our very first longer form audio segments. Given my own background, I tend to gravitate towards developments in the crypto regulatory space, and here are two of the major things I've seen this week on the US side and my take on what they mean. First, Ripple's lawsuit. Remember a couple months ago when Ripple hired Mary Jo White, aka the former chairman of the SEC, to defend them? Yeah. That's still happening. Let's just check in on the status of that real quick. So for background, Ripple is currently defending four separate securities class action cases in California courts, two in federal courts and two in state courts. Why is Ripple being sued? Because the plaintiffs are basically alleging one thing, which is that XRP is a security and Ripple violated state and federal law by failing to register it before offering, promoting, and selling it to retail investors. So what's up with the lawsuit? All four of these cases currently have different deadlines for Ripple to respond to pleadings. There are just about too many hurdles for anything to really come out of this, and a million scenarios this can go. For example, maybe the cases can get consolidated, maybe they'll get dismissed, though unlikely. Who knows right now? Basically, class action suits are usually settled and rarely go to trial. Think juries and oral arguments in a courtroom. So that doesn't usually happen, but like low-key, that would be amazingly interesting if it does. Anyway, some people think that this is why the SEC hasn't moved on Ripple yet, because the whole XRP as a security issue is already pending in the Californian courts. The SEC pretty much can just sit back and watch this whole thing play out for them. And if the California courts rule in the plaintiff's favor, then the SEC can move against XRP later. By the way, shout out here to Jake Chervinsky for his clear breakdown of this whole legal drama. Basically, this is going to be a long battle for Ripple. Okay, moving on to the next topic. I really want to cover the Tomahawk coin saga just because I found it to be so interesting and honestly, for lack of better terms, such a total shit show. Basically, all we need to know about this case is that this was actually a failed ICO, but that did not stop the SEC from moving in on it. Essentially, the SEC said bounty programs could be considered to be sales or offerings of securities. What Tomahawk did here was he created a bounty program to promote its ICO. So third parties were paid in Tomahawk tokens in exchange for promos, aka shilling. The value exchange here amounted to an offer of securities under the Securities Act. Now, this is the first time that the SEC has looked into token bounties as securities offerings, and it probably won't be the last. Now, what's really interesting about this case are two things that it can mean for token projects. And as a side note, this is not legal advice. Anyway, so basically, your bounty programs or airdrops are not ways to get around US securities law. Like, don't get me wrong, airdrops are super cool, but there are some serious questions to consider, right? For example, what are the restrictions, if any, around transfers and lockups and secondary sales of tokens? And also, like, technically, these aren't so much gifts as it is a value exchange, you know, depending on what you do with them, right? Which could be a security under US law. Basically, if your tokens are securities to begin with, it doesn't matter how you distribute them. You can do it through bounties, you can through airdrops, but at the end of the day, if this should have been classified as a security, that's not going to change the way regulators see it. Anyway, shout out to Drew Hinks for talking this stuff through with me. It's not every day that I get to like nerd out about securities regulation this hard. To wrap up this podcast, here's what else you need to know today. Coinbase acquires Distributed Systems, which is a team that's been working on decentralized identity solutions. Japanese messaging giant Line launches a $10 million token venture fund. Bitwise launches three new indexes and announces a new index advisory board. And Matt Walsh and Nick Carter, who were previously at Fidelity, have left to launch a new crypto fund to Castle Island Ventures and have raised $30 million to invest in new projects. If you want to read more about any of the above, head over to masari.io for the summaries and also the source links. Let me know, by the way, what you thought of the podcast episode today and what else you would want to hear in these by tweeting or DMing us at Masari Crypto. Thanks, and I'll talk to you guys soon.